Well, this is part three today, thinking about why Methodists, what makes us unique in the world as we think about Methodism, especially as we think about the Methodist movement that invites us to serve the world. So we talked about what it meant to have a witness of faith. And we talked last week about having a testimony of love, love that is in action, that helps us to look out at the world and find needs and then to move to be able to meet those needs. And today, we're thinking about what it means to be people who find evidence of a new life. And so our founder, John Wesley, was very kind, left behind a lot of material and resources for us to be able to discover. And I know that many of you will want to dig a little bit deeper. I'm sure of it. Am I right? Am I right? I don't see many hands raising, but okay. So Wesley left behind his 52 standard sermons. So if you'd like to read some really good sermons, here they are, right here, 52 of them. And he was kind enough that he numbered all 52. And so if you just were looking, if you looked at sermon number 18, you would find the marks of new life. And in sermon number 18, he says the marks of new life are many, but there are three essential elements. One is discovering a relationship with God. Two is experiencing the forgiveness of God. And three is having a new set of motivations for life about how we desire to live our life in the future. So we're going to think together about what it means to be people who are motivated to live our lives in a different way as we step into the future. What it means to be people who live in Christ and are transformed by the love of God. So we're going to read together from the book of 2 Corinthians. We're going to read from chapter 5, just a few verses, beginning with verse 16. Listen for the powerful elements that the Apostle Paul shares about how we can live a new life. From now on, therefore, we regard no one from a human point of view, even though we once knew Christ from a human point of view. We know him no longer in that way. So if anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation. Everything old has passed away. See, everything has become new. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ God, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting the message of reconciliation to us. So we are ambassadors for Christ. Since God is making his appeal through us, we entreat you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake, he made him to be sin, who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Let's pray together. Lord, in a few moments together, we pray that you would reveal yourself to us and that you would teach us through your word and that you would guide us always as we offer ourselves to you in the name of Jesus, our Lord. Amen. Amen. Well, I'm guessing some of you watch television from time to time. Do you watch little TVs from time to time? Okay, so let's test you. Let's see. Do you know the program Extreme Makeover? You know that program? So a group of people go out and they find a family that has a uniqueness about them or has some special need or something of that sort. And they come in and they evaluate their house and then they send the family away. The family goes off someplace and the whole team comes in and they destroy everything and rebuild it all with all the bells and whistles. Then they bring the family back. But before the family comes back, they park that big bus right there in front of the house. So when the family is there, the reveal can happen in the appropriate way. And when it's time for the family to be revealed, so that the new house can be revealed, they all stand there and they shout. See, you do watch, don't you? You do. You watch what you want. Okay. Move that bus. And they roll that bus out, and there is this brand new house that has been built in 20 minutes or less. And it's all set to go. It's an extreme makeover, you know. But Extreme Makeover is not just restricted to housing. You could watch any number of morning television programs, and you could see programs where they might go out into the onto the street and grab a couple of people and bring them in for a surprise makeover, right? And they'll bring them in, and they'll have someone there who's a beauty consultant and a fashion designer and a body image consultant and a cosmetic dentist, and they'll send them behind the screen, and 10 minutes later they'll introduce them, and they'll have a new set of clothes and maybe a new haircut or something like that. But don't you guess that on the inside, mostly they're still the same? Don't you think so? That's kind of the way it is with our own lives, isn't it? We can go out, we can change clothes, we can move to a different location, we can get a different job, we can wear a different pair of glasses, all kinds of things to be able to give ourselves a makeover. But don't you find that most of the time we're still the same on the inside? So how do we become new creatures in Christ, as the book of 2 Corinthians describes? How does that actually happen? Well, it happens differently for every single person. In the Old Testament, in the book of Psalms, we have Psalm 51, where King David is writing this poetry. And he writes a message that applies to every single one of us. He says, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Restore to me the joy of my salvation." So it turns out that King David had sinned, and had sinned pretty significantly. And his sin had caught up with him, and he discovered that he was separated from God. And so he cried out to God, saying, "Create in me a clean heart, renew a right spirit within me, restore to me the joy of my salvation. Bring me back into relationship with you." But how does that actually happen? Well, for many people, it happens because of an intentional decision that we make to be able to receive the grace that God has already been offering to us. And the Apostle Paul describes it best in this way. It says, "If anyone is in Christ, they are a new creation. Everything old has passed away, and everything has become new." So how does that happen? Well, that's a question that Methodist folks have been asking and answering for 230 plus years. You remember just a few weeks ago, we talked about John Wesley's experience on Aldersgate Street, where he felt his heart strangely warmed, and he was transformed. He had discovered that his life was kind of sour and was kind of difficult, and he sensed himself being separated from God. But in that particular moment, in that particular experience, he sensed that he was renewed in his faith, and he was not only renewed in his faith, but he began to explore some new possibilities for the way that he was going to express his faith. It turns out that just a few days earlier, his brother Charles had a similar experience. And Charles, in his experience, he was the poet of the bunch, and so he wrote a song about it. We talked about it last week, "Oh, for 1,000 tongues to sing." And literally, it was Charles's way of saying, "If I had 1,000 tongues, I still would not be able to proclaim enough words that would describe what God has done for me, the goodness of God that has been planted in my life." And so the two brothers, John and Charles, they decided to start telling other people about their experience. And they started preaching to other folks about this reality that people could find faith in Christ and be renewed and be transformed and have a whole different approach to life. And they could do that just by having faith in Christ. But they ran up against a significant obstacle, the biggest obstacle that they would ever face. You know what it was? It was the church. You might have found the church to be an obstacle in your faith journey somewhere along the line. I don't know. But for them, the Anglican Church of the day, they were both Anglican priests. They were ordained into the church, and the church of the day said, "No, this is not right. John Charles, you can't preach this message. This is not the authorized theology of the day." Because they were talking to people about the fact that they could find faith in Christ and be renewed simply by their own desire. And the church was saying, "No, it's through the church that you are connected to God. You come to the church, be connected to the church, and then we will administer the gift of grace. We will administer the gift of salvation, and you can be connected to God through the church." And so they sent John and Charles out of the church, and they were not permitted to preach in the congregations any longer. So they went out on the street, and they preached in saloons, and they preached to coal miners, and they preached anywhere where somebody would pay attention. And they preached this message that said that you could be transformed by faith and by faith alone. And that was a gift of grace. They began to search the scriptures to see if they were accurate in that. And they discovered that time after time, they found this same theme running all through the scriptures. And they began to continue that movement. It's exactly the same conversation that Nicodemus had with Jesus. You remember, we read it just a little bit ago from the Gospel of John. So Nicodemus, a Jewish leader, a Jewish teacher, comes to Jesus and says, what must I do to inherit the kingdom of God? And Jesus says pretty clearly, he said, no one will enter the kingdom of God unless they are born anew. And he began to talk about what that meant to enter into the kingdom. And he even added a little punctuation mark to be able to describe how important it was by adding a little commentary on the fact that this was so important to God. Why was it important to God? Because God had sent his only son into the world. Not that people should perish, but that those who believe might have life and have life everlasting. So we must be born again. Now, here's what I know. I know that even though that's a very clear message in the scriptures, I know for some of you today there's a different kind of response. Some of you, when we say no one can enter the kingdom of God unless you're born again, some people will say, yes, that's been my experience. And others will say, I don't know about that. I don't understand that. And still others will be kind of repelled by it because our culture has taken those two words, born again, and has shifted it into something that it wasn't intended to be. And we've created a kind of a negative flow around that whole idea. But here's the bottom line. You can call it whatever you want. You can call it born again. You can call it being a new creature in Christ. You can call it being renewed in your spirit. You can call it extreme makeover. You can call it a kumquat if you want. I don't care. What I do care is that you receive it and that you know it and that you're blessed by it. Not because that's my job, but because I love you and I want the very best for you. And that is the very best that God has to offer. The fact that he gave his one and only son that we might be able to know what it's like to be transformed, to be renewed from the inside out. People for centuries in all kinds of situations have been asking, what do I need to do to see a hopeful future? People have been asking, what do I need to do to reshape my life? People have been asking, what do I need to do to be transformed, that I might be created in the image of God in the same way that the Bible proclaims? An extreme makeover. For some here today, it would be the greatest gift, because no one wants to go day after day after day feeling like life is just moving one step at a time, and we get to the end and we discover that it really wasn't worthwhile. We want it to count, right? We want it to count. We want it, our lives. We want our lives to make a difference. And the way that they can make the best difference in the world is by allowing God to make the best difference in our lives. Amen? Let's pray together. Lord, our journey is before you. Your love is revealed. And the gift of your love is the transforming grace of God. And so we bring our lives before you just now, giving thanks that it's a gift of grace through faith, not of ourselves, but a gift of God. Lord, for those gathered here on this day, for each one of us, I pray that you'd help us to lift our faith, lift our eyes, and see the goodness that you have in store for us, and that you would pour that out into our journey through Christ our Lord. May it be so. Amen and amen. Our closing song reminds us about the faith that we have and the gift that we have to be able to receive the love of God. It's number 452. If you're following along in the hymnal, it'll also be on the screen. My faith looks up to thee. Let's stand as we close in song.